This is WNYC, AM, FM, and HD, New York.
From WCPN Cleveland, WKSU Kent, and WNYC New York, it's Super Tuesday special coverage. Good evening, everyone. I'm Brian Lehrer. The polls close in Ohio in about a half hour. They are already closed in Vermont, Virginia, and Georgia. We'll visit those states in just a minute. Jeff Greenfield and Cokie Roberts will join us in a little while. But this is also our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll for voters in Ohio, which everyone is calling the most important state on Super Tuesday this year. So if you have actually voted today, we are opening our telephones for you to call in and tell the world who you voted for and why. Did you vote today? Call 1-800-543-2543. 1-800-543-2543. Just count it down. Was it a hard decision for you? How recently did you make up your mind? How enthusiastic are you about your candidate on the issues? Why do you think he can beat President Obama? Call 1-800-543-2543, 1-800-543-2543. It's our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll for voters in Ohio, 1-800-543-2543, 1-800-543-2543. And as your calls are coming in, let's go live to Georgia, where the polls have just closed, and see if Newt Gingrich will win his home state. With us is Jim Burse, reporter for WABE Atlanta. Happy Super Tuesday, Jim.
Hi there, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing great. And are they calling it for Gingrich right away in Georgia, or is it closer than that?
Not officially, but they really kind of called it a week ago when some of the latest polls started coming in and really showed Gingrich with a wide lead in his home state.
And we now have a call in this race from the Associated Press. This just crossed the wire. Gingrich wins Georgia Republican primary, says the Associated Press.
And the magic number is going to be by how much. In Georgia, if you achieve 50% of the vote, you get all of the 76 delegates. If you're under 50%, you have to share those with the runner-up. So for Newt Gingrich, it's essential not just that he win, but that he win big.
Where is Mr. Gingrich spending the evening?
As we understand, he's on his way here. We're in a north suburb of Atlanta, Cobb County. It's an area where he represented in Congress. He has spent the day in Huntsville, Alabama. Interestingly enough, you know, not a Super Tuesday state, but he feels that he needs to get some traction there as well for next week. So he's been there and coming back to Georgia tonight.
So if you're at the event to which he's coming, is there a crowd there? Have they seen the AP projection? Are they celebrating?
Yeah, there is a crowd. They're starting to trickle in. It's not a huge crowd, surprisingly. Almost more media, I would say, than Gingrich supporters. And I stepped away to a quiet room to take the call. So I haven't seen if they've seen the AP numbers. They had Fox News Channel up on a big screen in front of them. But they are definitely energized. I mean, some colorful characters for sure. And they are eager to see a Newt Gingrich victory.
Could this be Gingrich's last hurrah if he only wins Georgia? And you said one of the questions will be by how much, but especially if he only wins Georgia, is he thinking of dropping out?
You know, he's kind of waffled on this. He said that as long as he wins Georgia, he's staying in. The question is, for how long? How will he do in other Super Tuesday states? And how will he do going forward? You know, there are many kind of polls along this entire race where many thought Gingrich would have dropped out prior to tonight, and he has surprised everybody by staying in. And just when you kind of count him out of the race, he seems to rebound in a way that's somewhat unique to Newt Gingrich.
And last question, the Democrats, I understand, consider Georgia a long-shot swing state for the general election. It's been many years since a Democratic presidential candidate won Georgia. Obama did not in 2008. Is there a potential path to victory for the president there, or is some Democratic strategist dreaming?
Yeah, I just have to go out on a limb here and say it's a dream. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there, strategists, who will say Georgia is in play. It could be Barack Obama, but, you know, from what I've heard and covering the primary so far, it seems like no matter who the GOP nominates, that's who Georgia is going to back this year.
All right, there you have it. And the first result of the night, Newt Gingrich, immediately as the polls have closed in his home state of Georgia, called the winner of the Republican primary there. But as we heard from our guest, Jim Burris from WABE Atlanta, very much at stake, in play, is still whether Mr. Gingrich will get more than 50% and get all the delegates from that state. Thank you very much for joining us, Jim.
My pleasure, Brian. Thank you.
And as I said before, this is also our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll for voters in Ohio. Call us and tell us how you voted today at 1-800-543-2543, 1-800-543-2543. And Lori in Canton is our first caller tonight. Hi, Lori. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Hi.
So who'd you vote for?
I voted for Santorum.
How come?
Because I'm a Democrat, and I was on a switch at the poll, and I support Obama.
Now, that's interesting. You know, there you're allowed to do that, and I had heard that there was a movement for Democrats to do that, and that's the strategy for a Democrat. It's to vote for Santorum to kind of bollocks up the Romney machine because that's considered in President Obama's interest?
Well, I didn't know there was a movement, but it just made sense to me, okay?
Okay. Lori, thank you very much. Caroline in Cleveland, you're on our special coverage. Hi.
I voted for Romney, and I can't believe people vote for somebody that they for that reason. I think that's totally crazy. Anyway.
You know, both parties do it sometimes. I remember when Rush Limbaugh in 2008 had a kind of movement for some of his listeners to go into some of these Democratic primaries in states where he could cross over and vote for. I don't even remember what the strategy was.
I know.
But
I realize people
both
do that.
Teams do it.
I know.
Anyway,
people do that. And the thing is, there's other candidates that they could have voted for that are Democrats, if they're Democrats. So, I mean, I don't get it, but that's the way it is. Anyway, I voted for Romney. I really respect him. I think he's a smart man, and I think he's got a lot of business experience, and I just admire him, and that's why I voted for him.
Thank you very much, Caroline. 1-800-543-2543. 1-800-543-2543. If you voted in the Ohio primary today. Now to Vermont, where the polls are also closed, and happy Super Tuesday, Russ Snide of Vermont Public Radio.
Thanks very much. Same to you. It's actually Happy Town Meeting Day in Vermont as well. We have municipal elections here as well.
The state of Bernie Sanders and Howard Dean has Republicans?
Well, we do have a few Republicans here, and apparently they are not making this a runaway for next door Mitt Romney. The AP has so far not called the race. The AP does say that Mitt Romney is ahead in Vermont, but they have certainly not called the race yet.
Does that surprise you? You and I spoke earlier in the day, and you seemed to think it was going to be a slam dunk for the former governor next door.
It did seem like he was probably likely to be a winner right at the top of the hour, but it looks like clearly there's somebody close behind, and appears it's probably Ron Paul. It's not certain at this point. Ron Paul is likely to get a lot of support from independents, of whom there are many in Vermont. Democrats are also allowed to vote in the Republican primary here. There also are a lot of colleges, and as we know, Ron Paul does get a lot of support from college students.
Do you think that there are many Democrats in that very blue state, the Green Mountain State, which is a very blue state, who crossed over today? The Daily Coast, the liberal website, calls it Operation Hilarity to do that in whatever state you can.
Well, we have no way of really judging this in a scientific way. I will tell you this. One of our reporters ran into the city Democratic chairman in Burlington, which is having a mayor's race today, and asked whether he had voted in the presidential primary. He said, well, I was really tempted to pick up a Republican ballot, but I decided I shouldn't. So even if the city chairman in Burlington was considering it, you have to assume that others have as well.
Was there much of a campaign in Vermont leading up to tonight?
almost none. The only candidate who really had any presence in the state was Mitt Romney. He opened one campaign office. None of the other campaigns did anything here in Vermont. The Romney campaign did send some surrogates, some state candidates, and the former governor of New Hampshire, John Sununu. Other than that, that was about it.
So the answer to what if they held a Republican primary and nobody came can be found in Burlington and Rutland tonight, huh?
That appears to be the case. It looks like there's probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 35,000 or 40,000 Republican voters in the primary here tonight. But
does that mean in Vermont terms?
In Vermont, that's still a fairly low turnout. The Democrats, 4 years ago, when they had a contested race here, had two or three times that amount. So it's not a very heavy turnout.
If a candidate wins a primary but nobody turns out, does it make a sound? The question that we almost answered with Russ Snyd of Vermont Public Radio. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And back to our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll for voters in the Ohio presidential primary today. Tom in Cleveland, thanks a lot for calling in. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So did you vote?
Yes, I did.
And for whom?
I voted for Newt Gingrich.
And because?
I think he will do fantastic in the debates. He'll destroy Obama in a debate.
So there's an electability vote there. You know, I'm seeing an exit poll result that says voters in Ohio had a split between their heads and their hearts. And this is more Santorum voters, but a lot of Santorum voters thought, or a lot of people who tend to support Santorum and prefer Santorum, thought he was the candidate they liked the best, but Romney was the most electable. You're unified in your Gingrich pick.
Well, for the most part, yes. That's my attitude towards Gingrich is I think he's the best candidate.
Best candidate and the most electable.
Well, I still think if you put him in the presidential race, I mean, going at Obama, I think Gingrich can pull in votes. I still believe that.
Mm-hmm. See if he gets those Lincoln-Douglas-style debates that he wants, right?
Sounds good.
Thank you very much. Spencer in Canton, you're on our special coverage. Hi, Spencer. Did you vote?
Yes, I did today.
You voted for?
Ron Paul.
Because?
Well, I am a college student, and I am a registered Democrat, but I think that in order, we really need to have some change, and Ron Paul's visions are the most unique and seem like they have the best potential to work.
What do you like best about Ron Paul, even though you're a registered Democrat?
Well, I like his policy on gay marriage, his policy on drug reform. I mean, I feel like this country is wasting lots and lots of money and putting their time and effort into things that don't actually matter when we should be putting it towards social well-being. And we don't need another, big business Romney-type character in office.
Spencer, where do you go to college?
I go to college at Bowling Green State University.
Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you.
It is our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll for voters in Ohio. His line is open now, 1-800-543-2543, 1-800-543-2543, and special coverage for Super Tuesday from WCPN, WKSU, and WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer. Now to the Commonwealth of Virginia, where the polls also closed at 7 o'clock. With us is Harry Wilson, Director of the Institute for Policy and Opinion Research at Roanoke College. Thanks very much for joining our coverage.
My pleasure to be here.
Now, only Mitt Romney and Ron Paul made it onto the ballot in Virginia. Remind our listeners what happened to Santorum and Gingrich.
They weren't very well organized, and they didn't get enough petitions to get their names on the ballot. So they're not on the ballot here today.
I know there was a lot of complaining about the ballot rules in Virginia. It's difficult to different degrees to get on the ballot for primaries in different states, and Virginia is one of the toughest, isn't it?
Virginia is tougher, but candidates haven't had that much difficulty doing it in the past. People have managed to do it, and Ron Paul managed to do it this time, and I don't hear too many people talking about Paul being the best organized candidate, or you don't hear people talking about the Paul machine. So I would suggest it's more a failing of Gingrich and Santorum than a difficulty in the rules.
All right. So it's mano a mano, and people always wonder, what if it was just Mitt Romney and one not Mitt? What would happen then, and what appears to be happening?
Well, it is just the two candidates today, but actually as you introduced me, I'm director of a survey institute at Roanoke College, and we just released a poll last week, and one of those questions was, who would you vote for if all four of these guys were on the ballot? And the answer was dead even between Ron Santorum at the top with 24%, and then Gingrich and Paul behind at about 15% each. So it would have been a very close race had all four candidates been on the ballot.
Of course, had all four candidates been on the ballot, the Romney money machine, not to be pejorative, but he has a lot of money to spend, probably would have been going hard after whoever was giving him a close race. So it's not a true hypothetical, right?
In that sense, you're right. I guess in that sense, it's not a true hypothetical. And you wouldn't even know that there was an election going on in Virginia today because there haven't been ads on TV. It's been very silent here for the past month.
And so how is the Ron Paul vote shaping up if he's the one to challenge Romney in Virginia?
Well, I mean, I think part of the reason that it's been so silent here is because everyone knew that this was a done deal a long time ago. I mean, every poll, including the one that my college released, has Romney ahead by 30 points, 35 points. So it's really not much of a contest. And my assumption is that Romney will take, because of how the delegates are selected, that Romney will probably have a clean sweep of all the delegates in Virginia.
Is your polling institute looking at the fall yet? President Obama did carry Virginia in 2008, one of the biggest surprises of that election. Is it expected to be a major battleground again this year, or have things shifted to the right?
Well, I think it's going to be a major battleground again. We did a poll back in September with the potential matchup with Obama and Romney, and we had Romney at that point by 8%, but all of this Republican infighting has taken a toll on him. In the poll of the last week, we had Romney by 1%, which is statistically tied.
Mm-hmm. So
they're essentially tied.
It will be a battleground. All right. Thank you very much for joining us. Harry Wilson, director of the Institute for Policy and Opinion Research at Roanoke College.
My pleasure. Thanks.
An easy Romney win over just Ron Paul in Virginia tonight. Back to our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll for voters in the Ohio primary. John in West Salem, you're on the air. Thanks for calling our coverage.
Yes.
Who'd you vote for?
I voted for Santorum.
Tell us why.
Because I think the way that the economy is and everything, that people just can't relate to Mitt Romney with all that money.
Did you consider Gingrich?
I did. I did consider Gingrich, but I think with Santorum in Pennsylvania, that will help in the northeast part here, where people will, you know, I think some Republicans have the South anyway, so, you know, but Romney, I just feel I like him, but I just don't think he can win. I never could. Never did.
Thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it. Christy in Cleveland, you're on our special coverage. Hi, Christy.
Hello.
Who'd you vote for?
Santorum.
Because?
Because I believe in a lot of what he does, and though I know he said some things that might be questionable in a lot of other people's minds, I felt that it was necessary because this country needs a change, and I believe in, you know, the right to life. I believe that our country is in serious problems because we don't respect life. And I'm not suggesting that if he did become president, he would overturn Roe v. Wade or anything mm-hmm. like that. But I do think that we need to start respecting human beings.
Christy, I have to leave it there. I'm sorry to cut you off, but thank you very much. We have to go to a break. And from WCPN Cleveland, WKSU Kent, and WNYC New York, it's Super Tuesday special coverage. I'm Brian Lehrer, Jeff Greenfield, and Cokie Roberts. In a minute. From WCPN Cleveland, WKSU Kent, and WNYC New York, it's Super Tuesday special coverage. I'm Brian Lehrer. with our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll for voters in Ohio. If you have actually voted today, our telephone lines are open for you to call in and tell the world who you voted for and why. Did you vote today? Call 1-800-543-2543. Just count it down after 1-800-543-2543. 1-800-543-2543 for our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll for voters in the Ohio primary. With us now, NPR senior news analyst and ABC News political commentator Cokie Roberts and Jeff Greenfield, co-host of Need to Know on PBS and political columnist for Yahoo News. Hello, Jeff. Hello, Cokie. Happy Super Tuesday.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Jeff, you there?
Yes. I forgot to send you something. I think there's a card in the mail.
Oh, yeah? All right. Yeah. Well, we'll have to do it with a phone call then. Cokie, can you remind us? What is he talking about? Can you remind us to set the scene here? Why does Super Tuesday exist? Why do primaries scatter across the calendar before today and then bunch up on today?
Well, they bunch up less today than they have in past years when we've had Super Tuesdays. It's kind of a mini super. But there was an intention to get it over with, to have a bunch of primaries from various parts of the country all on one day fairly early in the cycle, and March used to be early in the cycle, and you know, have a good sense. The idea was to do the closest thing to a national primary. And, you know, that this isn't it, but it probably is something of a decider.
Jeff, why is it a different list from the Super Tuesday states from 4 years ago, a smaller list? Many more were involved at that time.
Because every 4 years, the parties get together and decide, well, it got screwed up last time. Let's figure out a new and inventive way to screw it up.
Exactly.
There are so many states that wanted to go first. They want to hang back. They're not sure when they want to have their primary. I know this sounds frivolous, but I don't think it's any more frivolous than the actual process. Just to give you one example, 4 years ago, Florida and Michigan were so anxious to leap to the head of the class that in the Democratic Party, their primaries were sanctioned and they didn't count. Had they stayed where they were, Hillary Clinton would have won them both and probably beaten Obama for the nomination. So it's a kind of calculation. And then there are some specific reasons why primaries moved. Texas had to delay its primary to late May because there was a big fight over within the courts over their new districting plans. To try to make sense out of this in any coherent, concise way would give me a migraine. Cokie may be much better at this than I, but
no, it's like generals fighting the last war. But I must tell you, Brian, listening to your unofficial exit poll, what a lot of your voters said was exactly what we're seeing in the official exit polls. And what we're seeing in many of these states, regardless of who's leading at this point, is that Mitt Romney only gets about 21 to 23% of the people saying that he understands average Americans. And so even if he has wrapped it up tonight or made it mathematically impossible for anybody else to wrap it up tonight, he's going to have a hard time with this little connection problem going forward.
And we do have a little bit of news, which is that the AP is calling Virginia for Mitt Romney. No surprise there, as only he and Ron Paul are on the ballot, but that's official now. We also had earlier Georgia being called for Newt Gingrich. No surprise there, though I gather still in play is whether Gingrich will get over 50% so he can get all of the delegates. And, Jeff, on the question of all of the delegates.
And all the delegates are a lot. That's the biggest number of delegates. It's 76.
Right. Most states in the Republican primaries used to be winner-take-all. Now most allocate their delegates about in proportion to the popular vote or in some kind of formula. Why did they change, and why am I hearing that the party is coming to regret that change?
Well, because, okay, you're right. Many of the states were winner-take-all. The Democrats abandoned that after 1972, after a big fight in California. The Republicans kept winner. Democrats don't allow it. Republicans kept it. Many states did. Last time out, New York, New Jersey, Missouri, many others. And that's one of the reasons why McCain wrapped up the nomination relatively early, because he won a lot of those states with, I don't know, 38, 40% of the vote, put all the delegates. But the feeling was that that this was not really a way to give the candidates their due. And so proportional representation, the states, by the way, have an endless permutation of this.
When did they call
it get over 50%? It's just, you know, you need a PhD.
I mean, percentages, registering in congressional districts. I mean, it just goes on and on and on what the qualifications are.
Right, but the reason that they're regretting it is because they're proportional, it's much harder for any candidate, in this case Romney, to wrap this thing up early. So what people are now beginning to see, I think, is the prospect of a long slog toward a conclusion that is getting to be almost inevitable, but that just drags the process out.
And drags the attitudes towards the candidates down. And that becomes a big problem for them, too. I mean, really, Brian, it is funny. The Republicans looked around after 2008 and said, wait, the Democrats had a long primary process, and it made those candidates stronger. And the candidate who was the most electable ended up winning. So that's what we should do this time. So then they've done that, and now they're terrified that the candidate who is most electable is going to be so damaged. His negatives in the public opinion polls are so high, and much higher than we normally see for a candidate at this stage of the process, that he's going to have to do an awful lot of missionary work once he gets the nomination, if he gets it.
Cokie Roberts, Jeff Greenfield on our special coverage. Another thing apparently elongating the race, which we could say the Republicans brought on themselves, and maybe this is why it's turning out different from 2008 when that whole long Obama-Clinton thing gave Obama positive momentum, is that the remaining candidates are awash in super PAC money. Thank you, Citizens United. Cokie, the Republicans wanted that ruling. The Democrats did not, because the Republicans benefit typically more from unlimited corporate donations and things like that in the general election. But, Cokie, is this spigot also keeping Gingrich and Santorum's candidacies alive when they might otherwise need to drop out?
Well, it's certainly keeping Gingrich's alive. Actually, one guy is keeping Gingrich's candidacy alive, Sheldon Adelson from Las Vegas and his wife. And they keep infusing millions of dollars into the campaign so that you can pay staff for another week. But although it's separate, I do understand that. But the Santorum campaign has gotten more money just from regular people. But he also does have a super PAC as well. And Jeff made the point very early on back in New Hampshire. You go for it, Jeff. I mean, you made the point, a conservative court, a conservative decision, and what's the outcome?
That's right. It's an outcome in which the parties, among other things, and the campaigns now have effectively lost control. And one of the key things that I think matters and why the super PAC ads are so much more negative is that under the law, it's one of the few laws the Supreme Court has not yet struck down, in a campaign ad produced by the candidate has to say, I'm Jeff Greenfield and I approve this message. Super PACs have none of that. So a super PAC can be as nasty as it wants, and the candidate gets to say, gee, I certainly wouldn't say that. You know, I wish they would let us do this. I have nothing to do with that. I never heard of these people. I don't know from them. And that has taken yet another check off how negative ads can be.
It's interesting, though, Jeff, because they're so negative, and the coverage of them is so negative that corporations are not that interested in contributing. What we're seeing much more of than corporate money is individual money, because
right.
The individuals don't have a brand to defend, and corporations do.
That's the Sheldon Adelson for Gingrich money, the Foster Freeze for Santorum money, and that kind of thing. Let's go to a couple of phone callers from Ohio and see what you think of these folks checking in on our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Ohio primary exit poll. Gary in Cleveland, you're on our special coverage. Hello, Gary.
Good evening.
Who'd you vote for?
Well, I voted for Romney.
Because?
Well, I'm convinced that you can't govern particularly effectively from either extremes. You can't, either from the left or the right. my sense is that Romney is more of a centrist by nature, and I think that's what the country needs right now.
You almost used the dirty word moderate in this Republican primary campaign.
Well, the irony is I am a very conservative individual, and just can't believe where the country's been pushed over the last few years, and would never have thought going into this process that I would be looking at somebody who I viewed to be a moderate. But the more I think about it, the more I'm just convinced we need somebody that can sort of work for all people, not just one set of values.
Gary, thank you so much. And we're going to go to...
Gary is one of the few very conservative people who voted for Romney. What we are seeing in the exit polls in all of the states today, as we did in earlier primaries, is the people who identify themselves as very conservative do not vote for Romney.
And Bill in Cleveland, you're on our special coverage. Hello, Bill.
Hello, thank you.
Who'd you vote for?
I'm voting for, my vote was for Newt Gingrich.
Tell us why.
Well, I think he is a candidate who, for the first time in quite a while, has the ability to actually face down Congress as a body. I don't think we've had a president. I think Clinton did a good job with that, and Ronald Reagan did a very good job with that. I think both of them kind of by raw popularity of a kind that Newt Gingrich probably could never muster. But I think Newt Gingrich has the experience dealing with Congress. I think he has the personality. He has the drive. He has the kind of in-your-face ability to fight his way through issues, and he's a very, very bright person. He's certainly well-versed in the issues, and I think all four candidates have a lot of appeal. I think Ron Paul has a lot of appeal, but I don't think he could be in the least bit effective with Congress. I don't think he could get anything done. He's got a great message, and also very bright. He's very straightforward. He's very honest. You feel like he's coming from his heart.
But your choice is Gingrich because you think he could knock Congress's heads, to put words in your mouth, and get stuff done.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Bill, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much for your call. 1-800-543-2543. And I'm going to add another ask right now. And this is for those of you who live in the new congressional district in Northeast Ohio that either Marcy Kaptur or Dennis Kucinich will represent. Sad for many Democrats that two of the most progressive voices in the House of Representatives have had their districts collapsed into one after the 2010 census, and they're running against each other today. So if you live in that new district and you had to go and choose between Marcy Kaptur and Dennis Kucinich today, now the phones are open for you at 1-800-543-2543, 1-800-543-2543. Jeff Greenfield.
But Brought up something. You've just brought up something that, is really important, which is we don't do enough national coverage because there's so many races to cover of state legislative races. But in 2010, the Republicans took more legislative chambers than they had had since 1928. And that put them in a position where they could draw these district lines in many cases. And Democrats who were hoping to pick up seats in a bunch of states because of immigration have now found themselves, in most cases, California being the exception, either not getting anything or even losing some.
Ohio
is a good example of that.
Jeff, 20 seconds for a last word.
Yeah. Well, in addition, it put a lot of ideological energy at the state level, things like coming down very hard on labor unions in Wisconsin and Ohio, very aggressive anti-abortion measures throughout regions. Mm-hmm. This happened at the state level for precisely the reason Cokie was talking about.
Jeff Greenfield, co-host of Need to Know on PBS and political columnist for Yahoo News, NPR senior news analyst and ABC News political commentator, Cokie Roberts. Thank you both so much.
Nice to be with you.
You. Bye-bye.
It's It's Super Tuesday special coverage. I'm Brian Lehrer. For those of you listening on WNYC in New York, you can watch our maps and participate in the live chat going on at WNYC.org. And for all of you, WCPN Cleveland, WKSU Kent, and everybody else, obviously special coverage will continue from NPR throughout tonight. So listen to your local public radio station and go to your public radio station website to participate on Super Tuesday, in Super Tuesday. It's now 7:35. The polls closed 5 minutes ago in Ohio. And joining us now is Joe Ingles, State House news reporter for Ohio Public Radio and Television. Hello, Joe.
Good evening.
Is the state being called right away?
Not right now, no. I think this one's going to go down to the wire. At least that's what we're hearing based on exit polls.
Is there any early indication of how this will turn out based on those exit polls?
Well, not really. I think a lot of people are betting on Romney if all things are even because of issues with Santorum is not going to be able to capture all the delegates that he could have had simply because he didn't file in some areas. There's also the issue of Romney capturing women, the women's vote, and there are a lot of women in Ohio who go out and vote, and the undecided voters going into this election, the women were paying attention. There were 30% of the, at least 30% of the electorate, Republican likely voters, said that they could change their mind going into this election, and Romney looked like the safe bet. So I think people are saying if everything's even, Romney should take it.
Is that because of the contraception issue and the Rush Limbaugh issue that you think women may be breaking for Romney if they're deciding at the last minute?
Well, that certainly didn't help Santorum at all to have that issue come out when it did, because that might be a factor. There's also this issue of every poll that you look at seems to indicate that when you look at Romney, he does better against President Obama than the others. Although I think there have been a couple that have shown that Rick Santorum can do well against President Obama, but there seems to be a thinking that Romney is the one that can beat President Obama, and so they want to go with the winner.
Santorum is spending this evening in Ohio out of all the Super Tuesday states, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's spending it over in Steubenville, which is, for listeners who don't know where that is in the state, that's over there around West Virginia, Pennsylvania. It's way on the east side of Ohio, and it's kind of out of the way. It's not near anything.
So why is he there?
Well, you know, it's a good question, really, why he's there. But we do know that that's where the governor held his State of the State speech this year. It's usually a very Democratic area, but it's also got they have some issues going on over there that favor Republicans. For example, fracking. There are a lot of there's a lot of shale in that
area. That's interesting
that
you say the fracking favors Republicans. I want to follow up on that after the break. We'll continue in a minute with Joe Ingles from Ohio Public Radio and more of your calls at Super Tuesday special coverage. From WCPN Cleveland, WKSU Kent, and WNYC New York, it's Super Tuesday special coverage. I'm Brian Lehrer. There are some results to report already. Georgia goes to Newt Gingrich. No surprise there. Still up in the air whether he will sweep all the delegates in Georgia, and that has the most delegate-rich state tonight with 76 delegates up for grabs. He wins all 76. If he gets over 50% of the popular vote, other than that, he has to split it with some other candidates, and that result is not yet known. Romney wins Virginia, no surprise. Romney now called also in Vermont. If you were with us earlier, there was a little bit of surprise in Vermont that they didn't call Romney right at 7 o'clock when the polls closed, so somebody was making a stronger-than-expected showing, or he was making a weaker-than-expected showing, but they have now called the state of Vermont for Mitt Romney. We are with Joe Ingles, State House news reporter for Ohio Public Radio and Television. And your calls in our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Ohio primary exit polls, either in the presidential race or soon we're going to go to your calls between Marcy Kaptur and Dennis Kucinich in that Democratic congressional primary. Who did you vote for today and why? 1-800-543-2543. Joe, the polls have been closed for 11 minutes now. Any more results?
No. This race probably is going to go into the evening for a while. It looks like it is close, and at least with the presidential candidates where they're concerned.
The polls, well, exit polls are finding a general lack of enthusiasm among Ohio voters today, with only 40% saying they are strongly behind their candidate. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't at all, because I have had friends, people that we hear all over Ohio, who are complaining about the robocalls. One of my friends said they got 20 robocalls today. That's a lot. People are getting robocalls during dinner time. They're just not happy. I think that if you had a none of the above choice, that none of the above might win this election in Ohio tonight.
And you mentioned before the break that in the Steubenville area and around there, that the presence of shale and the drilling technique known as fracking makes it a pro-Republican area. There are other parts of the country where there's so much opposition to fracking that Democrats probably benefit from the proposals to frack there. Why is that of benefit to Republicans in Ohio?
I don't know that it's a benefit to Republicans, but here's the situation. There's a lot of shale over there. There are also a lot of manufacturing. It was a manufacturing town that had a lot of jobs that left. And so there are a lot of people over there who are out of work, who need jobs. With all the shale that's over there, a lot of people stand to get very wealthy very quickly if they go in there and do fracking. And so people are looking at it with an open ear. They're wanting to know more about it, and it's the kind of place right now with some of the issues that are going on that the Republicans can go over there and lay out a strategy that might be appealing to them on that issue.
Angela in Cleveland. Hi there. Who'd you vote for?
Mitt Romney.
Because?
Well, I'm very conservative, but I know the kind of values and standards that Mitt stands up for, and I'm a family woman, so the family values. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say they don't relate to Mitt Romney, and I totally get him. I totally know where he's coming from. He had 16 grandchildren. He has a firm family, good relationship with his wife, and I think a lot of our values in this nation are failing, and I believe it's because of the disintegration of the family. If you start bringing those values and that family in, then our nation is going to succeed.
Santorum for a lot of people is the family values candidate.
What was that?
Santorum for a lot of people is the family values candidate.
And I see Mitt Romney as one as well.
Thank you very much for your call. We have Joe Engels, State House News reporter for Ohio Public Radio and Television. And also joining us now is Bill Rice, Associate News Editor at WCPN in Cleveland. The big news today is Super Tuesday in the Republican presidential race, of course, but there is a Democratic Party primary in northeastern Ohio of great interest tonight. We mentioned it earlier, and we're going to take some calls on this now. Two of the most progressive members of Congress, Marcy Kaptur and Dennis Kucinich, are having to run against each other because redistricting is eliminating one of their seats. Bill, thanks for coming on. Are there any early returns in that race?
No, I haven't seen any early returns. The polls just closed a few minutes ago, and we're waiting for some returns to come in now.
Corinne in Lakewood, you're on our special coverage. Hello, Corinne.
Hi.
Did you vote in that congressional race?
Yes, I did.
For?
I voted for Dennis Kucinich.
Because?
He has represented Lakewood for a really long time and in a really personal way, and he's just really well-liked. I think he's done a great job representing our district. And from what I know about Marcy Kaptur, she's also pretty cool, but Dennis has just been part of Cleveland forever. So
now you're putting this in very local terms. And to people around the country, Dennis Kucinich is a national cause candidate, a peace candidate, a single-payer health care candidate. Does that stuff matter to you in voting for Kucinich?
It definitely matters. It definitely, definitely matters. But, you know, being from Lakewood, he has an office in Lakewood. And he, you know, it's nice to see somebody that is so connected locally be able to take issues that matter and and make them national issues. And at the same time, he still makes time for his constituents in really personal ways.
All right. Thank you very much. And we're going to go next to Sandy in Vermilion. Sandy, hello. You're on our special coverage.
Hi.
You voted in the Kaptur Kucinich race, yes?
Yes, I did.
For?
Marcy Kaptur.
Because?
I've worked with her over the years, and I've always been so impressed with her integrity. She also works hard at events to draw people together and make connections, and is very good in terms of finding ways for us to look at each other in different ways for, in terms of economic development, which has been really impressive to me. And her integrity is probably the most impressive thing as well. You know, it was so sad when they drew up those districts. Anybody who wants a lesson in how bad politics can affect a state should take a look at how those districts were redrawn. Her and Dennis's district, whomever wins, is basically the shoreline of Lake Erie. It was shameful the way they cut that district up, and it was done intentionally for political reasons. It's such a shame that our elected officials don't have the big picture in mind. They're so involved in their self-interest that they kind of do us a disservice.
Sandy, thank you very much for your call. And Bill Rice from WCPN, did she get it right that this is political? Was this the act of a Republican legislature to divide Kucinich and Kaptur and make their voters choose between them? Or how did this come about?
Oh, absolutely. It was gerrymandering at its finest. You see a district that runs about 120 miles between Cleveland and Toledo. It just hugs the shoreline of Lake Erie. Dennis Kucinich and Marcy Kaptur both enjoyed easy wins for their past elections going way back. Now all of a sudden they find themselves up against each other in this heavily gerrymandered district, and both consider themselves in the fight of their lives. Neither one of them wants to lose their position in Congress. It's a very close election from what we can see right now, and we'll see how it comes out, but one of them, these longstanding Congress people, is going to lose their seat.
Joe, the redistricting takes place after the census each decade. So did the 2010 census determine that there are fewer progressive voters in Northeast Ohio than there used to be? Joe Ingles, go ahead.
I think that what we determined is we lost some overall population. And when they went to draw those lines, they ended up drawing 8 safe Republican districts, 4 safe Democratic districts, and you know, it was one of these things where there is a big claim by a lot of people that there was political advantage for the Republicans. Although, let's point out that some Democrats did vote for this in the end. They did vote for this map.
Bill Rice.
So it wasn't without some Democrat support.
Last word before you go, Bill.
On the gerrymandered map?
Sure.
Well,
or you anything know, anything think, you want to say?
I think what's really interesting to me is the friendship that these two enjoyed. They were very much allied with each other in Congress. They're very different kinds of candidates. You have Kaptur, who is well-connected, part of the power establishment of the Democratic Party in Washington, holds an important appropriations committee position there. Dennis Kucinich marching very much to his own drummer. He's much more of a purist. He's reticent to vote for something he doesn't believe in. He'll do it if he's in a pinch, but he really doesn't like to. So they're very different candidates. They've been friends and allies for many years. I think they've put that aside for this election, though.
A sad day for progressives around America, seeing voters in Northeast Ohio have to choose between Marcy Kaptur and Dennis Kucinich in a congressional primary today. Bill Rice, associate news editor at WCPN in Cleveland. Joe Ingles, State House news reporter for Ohio Public Radio and Television. Thank you both for joining our special coverage.
Thank you, Brian.
And let's check in briefly now with a few other important Super Tuesday states, beginning with Tennessee. Brandon Hollingsworth, reporter and All Things Considered host for WUOT in Knoxville, joins us. Hello, happy Super Tuesday.
Happy Super Tuesday, Brian. Good to be with you.
This is expected to be a competitive state for Romney, Santorum, and Gingrich, all three, correct?
Yes, and surprisingly so, because polling that was done back in February showed Santorum with a commanding lead at one point. A 21-point margin separated him from Mitt Romney in second place. But in recent weeks, and especially in recent days, that has tightened tremendously. And now we're seeing those three men separated by only a few percentage points, and Romney in particular is within the margin of error, close to Rick Santorum. So tonight could be very interesting to watch.
Do you have any early projections or exit poll results?
The only kind of exit polling that I've seen so far, Brian, is talking about, what people are looking for in a candidate. And in Tennessee, for instance, it might be that you have a higher percentage of evangelical Christians, and that would indicate greater support for Rick Santorum. I spoke with one political scientist not too long ago who told me that Santorum was doing very well in early voting, which in Tennessee has already happened. The polls opened and closed for early voting already. So that vote for Santorum has already been locked in. For Romney and Gingrich to really make a challenge to that, they'd have to have their supporters coming out in large numbers to do the live voting tonight, but we don't know exactly how that's going to go. The polls here in Tennessee are open for a little more than 7 more minutes.
Brandon Hollingsworth, reporter and All Things Considered host for WUOT in Knoxville, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
And this is special coverage on Super Tuesday from WCPN Cleveland, WKSU Kent, and WNYC New York. The headlines so far: Mitt Romney has won Republican presidential primaries in Vermont and Virginia, and Newt Gingrich has won his home state of Georgia. Let's go now to Mitt Romney's other home state. Everyone made so much last week of Michigan being his home state, but it was really his boyhood state. Massachusetts is where Romney got elected governor, of course, and Massachusetts has its primary today. With us now is Fred Tice, political reporter for WBUR. Hi, Bill. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
And Governor Romney is spending this Super Tuesday night in Boston, isn't he?
He is. As he did 4 years ago, he's come home to Boston. It is where he's lived since graduating from Harvard, and he has a home in a suburb of Boston, Belmont, Massachusetts, where he voted today upon getting off the plane.
But, Fred, why there? I mean, his opponents keep tagging him with being a moderate governor of a liberal state. Why does he want the rest of Republican America that has yet to vote in this primary season to see him in Boston tonight?
Because this is his home, and he was criticized 4 years ago, I don't know if you might remember that, for criticizing his home state, for making fun of Massachusetts, as he went very far right in an attempt to run against John McCain 4 years ago. And now he's decided to own up to where he's from. He calls Massachusetts my state. It is, after all, the state where he was governor, or the only place where he's been elected. And he has a lot of support here, particularly among Republicans and among the Republican establishment. And, people remember fondly his tenure as governor because he managed to accomplish quite a few things. And he's going to own where he's from.
In 30 seconds or so, if Massachusetts elected Republican Scott Brown to Ted Kennedy's Senate seat, could they conceivably send their electoral votes to Mitt Romney for president of the United States in November if he's the nominee?
It just seems very unlikely. It is quite possible that you would see Scott Brown reelected. Right now, the polls indicate that he would be reelected. But the same polls indicate that President Obama is likely to have an easy time in the presidential election here in Massachusetts.
We will see what happens over the months. Fred Tice, political reporter for WBUR, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
So Romney is in Massachusetts tonight. Santorum is in Ohio. Newt Gingrich is in Georgia. And Ron Paul is spending Super Tuesday night in North Dakota. We go live to Fargo now with Danielle Webster from Prairie Public Radio at the North Dakota caucus event in Fargo, where, Danielle, I understand Ron Paul has already spoken. Is that right?
Yes, he is just wrapping up his speech right now. I believe I left before he was finished. But it's a really energized crowd in there. Lots and lots of young people turned out when they opened the doors. I would say a good handful of high school students rushed up to the front of the podium to get a good spot. And probably about 700-800 people in there right now.
The polls are already closed in North Dakota, aren't they?
I believe they close at 8 o'clock. Central time, and results will be given at 10 p.m.
Oh, I see. So I have that wrong. So 8 o'clock central time would be in about an hour and 3.5 minutes from now. Are there any early projections or exit polls?
If there are, I have not been made aware of those yet. We don't really follow that quite as closely as the voting is going on.
But Ron Paul is spending Super Tuesday night in North Dakota because he could conceivably actually come in first in that state?
You know, we don't do a lot of polling that other states do here in North Dakota, but a lot of people are talking about Ron Paul. They're really energized around him. They really like his message of smaller government, cutting the deficit, personal liberties and everything. They're really excited about him, and so it'll be really interesting to see how he fares here.
What is the number one issue in North Dakota tonight, real quick, 15 seconds?
Oh, number one issue in North Dakota. I really have no idea. I think a lot of people here are really concerned about government spending.
It's a high employment. You know, people are going to think, what? No idea? Isn't it the economy? But North Dakota has one of the highest employment rates in America, doesn't it?
Yes. I believe our unemployment rate right now hovers around 4%, maybe even a little bit less than that. So we're doing pretty well.
You win for most honest correspondent of the evening. Danielle Webster from Prairie Public Radio, thank you for coming on with us.
Definitely. Thank you, Brian.
From WCPN Cleveland, WKSU Kent, and WNYC New York, it's Super Tuesday special coverage. I'm Brian Lehrer. With less than 1% reporting in the super state of Ohio, Romney and Santorum are basically in a dead heat. Romney has won the Republican presidential primaries in Vermont and Virginia, and Newt Gingrich has won in his home state of Georgia. Our coverage continues.